We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Used to spend my nights out in the ballroom. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom and brought me back, being too far gone. You're as smooth.
I was thinking Kelly when I hear this song.
Tennessee whiskey.
I think she may have saved my life.
It's a good song. Good old song.
Boy, tell you what. Festus Friday coming away right after the 5 o'clock news.
Did you hear they charged this idiot shooting at people in Leavenworth?
Oh, on the bridge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that bridge. By the way, for those of you who aren't familiar, there's a bridge that goes over the Missouri River that connects Leavenworth. It is on Metropolitan Avenue. It runs right between Leavenworth and Fort Leavenworth, and it connects it with Platt County on the other side. And it's a long bridge.
Yeah. And his name is 37-year-old Jason.
It's called the Centennial Bridge. Sorry to interrupt you, Dan.
Westrum, 37 years old. He is charged with 9 counts, including first-degree attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
He used an AR-15 in the shooting. Let me see. Listen to the rest of these charges. This is interesting, Scott. Here it is. First-degree attempted murder. A level 3 felony criminal discharge of a firearm at an occupied vehicle, 2 counts of aggravated assault, 3 level 7 felonies of criminal discharge of a firearm at an occupied vehicle, and 2 counts of aggravated endangering a child. Now, I don't know if there was a child in
presumably
his car or a child in one of the cars he was shooting at.
Mm-hmm.
But that soldier is an absolute hero.
The person who was injured was also a soldier.
Yes, but this soldier was apparently in traffic behind this idiot and saw him taking shots at everybody. And I love that, you know, in soldier or cop speak, they keep saying he neutralized the threat. No. He rammed that SOB with his car and took him out.
He's a master sergeant, which is a very, very high enlisted rank. So he's clearly been in the military for a number of years. Sam, I don't know if we have time, but GMA ran a story on, he did speak with ABC News, this master sergeant out of Fort Leavenworth. And I also know that Police Chief Kitchens from the Leavenworth Police Department, who oddly enough married one of my prom dates.
Yeah, I love Pat Kitchens. Good guy.
Yeah, he's a good cat. But anyway, he married the gal that I took to prom my senior year. And junior year. And he said on TV this morning, this guy saved countless lives.
Countless lives.
And he didn't have a gun. He had a car.
No, I just wish they keep saying he intervened or he neutralized the threat. No, tell the people what this soldier did.
He ran him over.
Rammed that blanking blank with his car.
Good. And I hope it hurt real bad.
He says anyone else would have done the same thing. Man, Scott, in that split second, if you saw that unfolding before your eyes.
You know, he was on this Master Sergeant, and his name escapes me.
David Royer.
David Royer, okay. God, I'd love to talk to you, Master Sergeant Royer. And if we can get him on the show at some point, either today or sometime early next week, I think he'd be a fascinating interview. Did not have a gun in his car, because you're not allowed to take guns onto the base, right? Or on the post. And so he used the only potential weapon he had, and that was the car. He was on the phone with his fiance as traffic stops on the Centennial Bridge, okay? And, or as the story goes, and he sees this guy get out of his car, open up his trunk, pull out the AR-15. And then just start opening fire on people on the bridge. He tells his fiance, honey, I got to go. You need to call 911 and tell them there's an active shooter on the bridge.
Oh, my God.
So he hangs up with her. So she now has no idea what's going on.
She's like, what?
Right. And so she calls 911, says there's an active shooter on the bridge. I don't know what jurisdiction this bridge falls under, but, you know, Leavenworth's right there. There's nothing on the other side in Platte County. And so I guess Leavenworth responded, of course. And he said he sat there and he's thinking, what can I do? You know, I don't have any way to neutralize the suspect. You're right, Dana. I love cop and military speak. They're so
formal. He neutralized him under the tires of his car.
Don't know how to neutralize the perpetrator. And he just said, I just gunned it. And he just ran the guy over. And I think that's awesome. I think that's awesome.
And you know what? He said, I would like to think anyone would have done the same thing. I think in that moment, Scott, if you're not a police officer who is trained to stop somebody like that, I think you would be so stunned that this was happening in broad daylight on a bridge in Leavenworth. You would be like, I don't know that other people would have done what he did. No one else did. He did what he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you saw I don't know if you saw the video, Dana, but he clearly, the shooter, he did wound one soldier, and I saw the video or the picture of the guy's car. I mean, there are at least 5 bullet holes right through the driver's side window.
And the bridge is narrow. Is it 2-lane?
You know, Dana, I haven't been over that bridge since I was probably in college. It's a long bridge. It's not an extremely wide bridge.
Okay, so I'm looking at an aerial photo, and I'm almost 100% positive it is just 2-lane, and this is why I bring this up. If it was 4-lane, you would have more width to escape what was unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
There's just nowhere to go on this bridge. Those cars were trapped, which is why, and Pat Kitchens is absolutely right, who knows how many lives this guy saved, this soldier saved. Doing what he did.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yep, Master Sergeant David Royer.
Okay, Master Sergeant Royer, if you're listening, I'm going to give out the number here. Chief Pat Kitchens, don't get mad that I took your wife to junior prom. If you want to call in, I did.
I think I got Pat's number. I'll text him.
All right, yeah, text him. Have him call in. I would love to talk to him about this. It's a fascinating story of bravery and just complete selflessness. That this man, you know, is on the phone with his fiance and he says, honey, call 911. There's an active shooter on the bridge right now and I got to go. What an incredible act of selflessness. So let's see if we can't get Pat Kitchens in here.
And the story, by the way, is on KMBZ.com. It's also on the KMBZ Facebook page. You can see it there.
Yeah, yeah. All right, 576. And if you were on the bridge, my God, please call in. What an incredible story you have to tell. 576-7798. Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel. Just touch my cheek before you leave me, baby. Just call me Angel of the Morning, Angel.
Wasn't this your first concert?
Maybe.
Ann Murray was your first concert?
That is Juice Newton. How dare you?
Oh, Juice Newton. Is this Juice Newton?
Use
sorry.
The two.
Well, I mean, how could you not?
I bought a Juice Newton superfan button and wore it to school the next day, and everyone made fun of me.
I don't know why.
It said, playing with the Queen of Hearts, Juice Newton. And I wore it to school. Then no one would sit with me at lunch.
Really? First time ever, huh?
I thought I was so hip. I wasn't.
Who took you to the Juice Newton concert?
One of my mom's friends. We just rocked out.
You rocked out at a Juice Newton concert.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody does at a Juice Newton concert. You rock out, right?
That's right.
What are her big hits? Yeah. Angel in the Morning and what?
Playing with the Queen of Hearts.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many. I mean, I don't know if we would have time to list them all.
It's a catalog. I mean, it's a catalog of hits.
Deep catalog of Juice Newton hits.
Oh, my gosh. Just, I mean, it's like, is she going to be able to fit them all in 2 hours, or are we going to leave here disappointed? I have no idea.
So I think Pat Kitchens is on the phone because he's like, when do you want me to call in? And I go, well, I think you should call in right now. So we are awaiting his phone call because I want to hear more about this hero on the bridge. I think it's a great story today. And, you know, there's a lot of awfulness in the news this week. And this, while awful, was a true hero who stepped in and did what needed to be done to save lives in our community. And that deserves to be recognized.
Sam, when we get the chief on, if you'll let me know, and we will, in journalism terms, ferry him to the top. Get him on right away. So he's in the. Did you give him the hotline?
I did give him the hotline.
Okay. All
one, right. A couple little stories that we'll update you on before we get him on. One of Elon Musk's rockets that they are testing. Now, this is not the one that goes up into space on Saturday.
Tomorrow,
it's just one of the ones they are testing for possible space, exploration, has massively exploded on its launch pad. Mm. And I just tweeted that. You need to see the size of the explosion. It's huge.
If you were one of the, and God bless the what I think is actual heroism of these two astronauts tomorrow. And they were... supposed to go up, I think it was on Wednesday, Dana, if I'm not mistaken, and that got postponed because of the weather. But I'm not so sure that I would feel comfortable in anything built by Elon Musk that is supposed to go into space. They have had some horrible disasters.
Yeah, if you see the size of the explosion on this launch pad in I believe it's Texas, it is, it's not good.
Well, and the... by the way, an 8 p.m. curfew has just been announced for Minneapolis tonight. This will be interesting.
Yeah.
The SpaceX that they're going up in, or supposed to go up in tomorrow, though the weather is looking a little dicey again in Florida, this thing has had problems too. Where it's, I mean, there was one time it didn't even get off the launch pad. It just exploded.
Don't they have like an escape pod now? Isn't the top
and how
off?
Do you escape from an explosion on the launch
pad?
Well,
yes, they do. Yes, they do. So if it was a Challenger type disaster, they would theoretically be able to get out of that situation. And that I think they have tested with success, Scott. But whatever the heck they're doing in Texas with this other rocket ship today did not work.
Well, trial and error. Sam, did the chief ever get through? Do we know?
He says, I'm on the phone with the Army. I'll call you at 3:30.
Hey, man, get off the phone with the Army.
Okay, and then because we could all use a laugh today, Scott, I sent you and Sam this text this morning. The Baltimore Sun has apologized after... a headline that was not well thought out.
What did it read?
I will read you the correction first.
No. Okay, all right.
And then will read you the original.
Okay.
The correction reads, Patriots owner Robert Kraft thinks the NFL season will start on schedule. Parentheses, we deleted a previous tweet to this story that used a headline that did not meet our editorial standards.
Okay, now read the revised headline again. Patriots owner Robert Kraft
thinks the NFL season will start on schedule.
Okay, what was the original headline?
Robert Kraft sees a happy ending for the NFL. I swear to Moses, the Baltimore Sun wrote that headline and sent it out. Full send.
Don't think they didn't know what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were doing.
With a photo of Robert Kraft. Twice it reads, Robert Kraft sees a happy ending for the NFL. We deleted a previous tweet to this story that used a headline that did not meet our editorial standards.
That played off a sexual activity that he is accused of engaging in Florida right before flying to Kansas City one day.
The entire NFL?
So good. So good.
I am going to disagree with you. I don't think it was intentional.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows what a happy ending is.
Because you would know as a headline writer, you would get in trouble for that.
Well, maybe they were.
I think they weren't thinking, and they had to bang out a six-word headline or seven words or whatever that is, and whoopsie-daisy.
Well, maybe they were running late, and they were trying to beat it to deadline. I mean.
They banged out the happy ending?
They did.
And, you know, the deadline is midnight. You got to beat it.
Go to break.
576-7798. I'm ashamed of myself. My mother should be ashamed of me. To be a hero just once in my life. So the other day on the Centennial Bridge that links Leavenworth and Platte County, some idiot moron decides to get out of his car and just start unloading a gun. And a Master Sergeant Royer, who was on the bridge, was on the phone with his fiance. And he said, "Babe," and I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he's like, "Babe, I got to go. You need to call 911. Let them know they got an active shooter on the bridge." Well, Master Sergeant Royer, he doesn't have a gun with him. The only thing he's got is a car. And instead of hunkering down like I think most of us would, he decides to use his car as a weapon to neutralize, because that's how police and army people speak, to neutralize the threat. Joining us on the hotline is the chief of police of the great city of Leavenworth, a city I know very well, Pat Kitchens. Hey, Chief Kitchens, welcome. Thanks for joining us, man.
Hey, Chief.
Hi, Scott and Dana. Thank you very much for having me. Some excellent weather this afternoon for the last few days. I'm really, really glad to see that. How's everybody today?
Oh, good. It's good to hear your voice.
I know, Dana. It's been a little while since we saw each other. I think when you guys did the local broadcast down here for Scott's homecoming, that time we saw each other then. It'd been however long ago that's been. So
yeah, it's usually pretty quiet where you are. Not yesterday, huh?
Right. So we had quite the event the other day. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, just harrowing danger, you know, something we don't encounter very often, but active shooter. You know, heavily armed, firing, and our hero of the day saved everybody.
How many people do you think he saved?
So our guest, Scott, there was somewhere around a dozen people sort of on the bridge, in the vicinity. The Kansas Department of Transportation was doing a maintenance project on the bridge, and they were controlling traffic, you know, how they let one side go for a few minutes, and so there were people standing on the bridge with the stop signs. There were passerbys. Yeah. There were, you know, vehicles occupied with passengers. I mean, so I would say a dozen people at least in the vicinity immediately, and then, however many folks were waiting in line. Just countless folks, hard to count.
Are there cameras on the bridge, Chief? And if so, have you seen the video?
There are not cameras on the bridge. We've obviously spent the better part of the last, 72 hours canvassing and trying to find whether somebody had a video. One person did turn in a dash cam video that was earlier that captured him going across the bridge, but didn't have any benefit. So we, unfortunately, at this point, haven't discovered that yet, but we'll still keep canvassing and see what we can come up with.
How do you determine, Chief Kitchens, where to prosecute? I'm assuming, since you're in the lead here, that the bridge must be split, if I may use that term loosely, in half, with half in Leavenworth, half in Platte County. I'm assuming this happened on the Leavenworth side.
That's right, Scott. So the rules regarding that are, believe it or not, pretty clear. The first event took place on the Kansas side. And when you're on the bridge and you're still over land, it is still in the city of Leavenworth. Technically, over the water, it is Leavenworth County. So you get about halfway to the bridge, and then at that point it turns into Platte County. So, at the end of the day, it very clearly happened on the Kansas side. There were people in the state of Missouri on the other side of the bridge, cars that got struck by the gunfire, but we still have the ability to prosecute on this side. And then I'm sure at some point they'll have a conversation with the federal authorities, given that it was involving two different states. There were United States Army soldiers involved, and so they'll have that discussion, but that is a legal discussion for our prosecutor, Mr. Thompson, and the federal authorities. But I'm sure they'll have that conversation.
A couple questions, Chief. How close behind the shooter was the master sergeant in traffic when he first noticed what was going on?
A few cars back again. So the Kansas Department of Transportation folks had traffic blocked or stopped while the Missouri side was coming. So probably a couple cars back and witnessed the event and then took action.
Did I read it correctly, Chief, that after he hit the guy with his car, he then rendered aid on him?
Absolutely, which is, if you've seen him do his interview the other day, I think it was yesterday, what you saw is exactly who he is, just perfectly calm, highly trained, been in the military for a very long time, and so that's not surprising because that's what we teach. Even if it's necessary to do what he did, you still have some obligation to try and render aid. He tried to do that, but the injuries were significant, and so our officers arrived, within a very few seconds, less than a minute, and the fire department EMS came and took that over.
Chief, was it a car or a truck that he struck him with?
Right, he struck him with his truck, his Chevy truck.
Now, does the master sergeant live on the Missouri side and he was going to work, or was he leaving work and going over the bridge for whatever reason?
Do we know? How about we tell you this? He worked on Fort Leavenworth, and he was leaving Fort Leavenworth.
Okay.
But I feel like I need to leave it at that.
No, that's fine. I understand. I think that's fair.
He was on post and leaving post and happened upon it.
And what can you tell us about this idiot, Jason Westrom? What do we know about him?
Well, we have to keep in mind that there's a criminal prosecution now. He was charged this morning with a number of crimes, the most serious of which was attempted murder. And so we have to try and preserve that and not talk about that. I could tell you his name, his age. He lived in Platte County, and we're coordinating our investigation with those authorities, Sheriff Owen and his staff over there, to make sure we have a clear history about this person as best we can.
Did he have a job? Did he have a job? Can you tell us anything just about him?
Why was he on the bridge?
No, I can't tell you any of those things. Again, it's part of the prosecution.
Yeah, but I'm good. I'm just going to keep going until you answer something.
You remember me?
Come on.
Apparently, my sister told me I was on Good Morning America, Dana.
You were. I saw you on Good Morning America this morning.
So I've been asked the same question 6,000 times by, you know, 100 different reporters at this point.
Yeah, but
you know,
I'm so much better at it.
Even in your high level of skill, I don't think you're going to crack the vault, Dana. Sorry.
Well,
all right, let me ask you this, Chief. Let me take a crack at it.
Yeah, take a crack at this.
This suspect who is in custody, were you familiar with him prior to the other day?
That's fair.
The Leavenworth Police Department was not familiar with him, no.
Okay, all right.
Which means another police department was, and then my question, do his legs work?
What was that, Dana? I missed the last part.
She said, do his legs work?
He was pretty seriously injured. He's still hospitalized and is likely to be for some time.
What's the condition of the soldier, if you can be vague about it? I understand you have to, Chief, of the soldier who was wounded in the shooting.
Really good news. He was wounded, has spent several days in the hospital. He's been getting better every single day. And expected to make a recovery, and we're very excited about that. We monitor that very closely. We've been in contact with the hospital every day, checking on his condition, but we continue to get good news about him every day.
Good. That's good
to
hear.
Thank God. Thank
God. All right, Chief Pat Kitchens with the Leavenworth Police Department. I goof a little bit that your wife was my junior prom date, but that's actually technically
true. Yeah, I'm still not over that, by the way.
I was nothing but a gentleman, I can assure you of that. And
well, that seems fair, Scott, because I think we first started dating when I stole her from Chris Cunningham at the Valentine's dance in the ninth grade at East Middle School. And so he's still mad at me, I'm mad at you, it all worked out.
That's great. Hey, Chief, one last question. Where did he get the gun?
Hi. I'm sorry, I missed that, Dana.
Where did he get the gun?
We're going to rely on the ATF to help us do that, which is pending. We're working on that, trying to sort that out. We also had our assistance with the Platte County authorities where he lives. And so we're working on that through the ATF. The federal authorities are helping us. We'll get all that information and make that available to the prosecutor, which I'm sure will be part of the investigation.
See, that wasn't so hard, was it?
It wasn't. You asked me. I didn't tell you anything while talking an awful lot.
Chief, be well. It was good to hear your voice again, and you take care of yourself, and all the best, to your family. All right.
Thanks, Dana.
That is Chief Pat Kitchens, Chief, with the Leavenworth Police Department here on
to bug that poor man all the time.
My God. You were ruthless.
I know.
Why?
Once in a while,
do you have some pent up frustration or something with Leavenworth, or what's
I actually miss doing that to him. I used to call him all the time. He'll tell you. God, he's so glad I jumped to radio until 5 minutes ago.
Man alive. Just brutal. I was like, God dang, girl.
Did you see what I did there? I gave you no answer with no information and still managed to talk a lot.
No, he said I talked a lot and gave you nothing.
This ain't his first rodeo either.
No. He's no dum dum. He's no dum dum. Dana and Parks on KMBZ. Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. All right, welcome back. My fashion sense is a little whack, and my friends are just. The NCAA has released a long and detailed plan today to help schools bring athletes back to campus during a pandemic. Athletes.
Okay.
It's called the Resocialization of Collegiate Sports Action Plan Considerations. It was announced as schools across the country are preparing for the return of football players as early as June 8th. The NCAA's Division I Council voted last week to lift the moratorium on athletic activities starting on Monday. That cleared the way for voluntary workouts and training to begin at team facilities. Schools have already started putting plans in place to test athletes, coaches, and staff for COVID-19 and implement social distancing? What? Not sure how that's going to work. The NCAA says its plan is offered as guidance. Shortly before the NCAA released its guidelines, the University of North Carolina posted on social media its own plan to bring athletes back to campus. This will be interesting.
Yeah. Well, for workouts, you could certainly, you know, cycle them in and out of the gym. You know, they canceled the Boston Marathon for the first time in 129 years this week.
124, that's right.
Or whatever, sorry. So, yeah. You know, the huffing and the puffing and all of that, they probably, when they are practicing with the college athletes, need to make sure that there's some distance between them. But there's no social distancing when you're playing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, how do you
social distance in Allen Fieldhouse?
How do you social distance if you play football? Hey.
Well, the astronaut helmet contraption that I came up with you made fun of me for.
Kids are going to die, Dana.
No, you go back to flag football and give them all 3-foot flags and then...
No. They're working on a shield that will go over the mouth but still allow the athletes to breathe so that when they are yelling or going, huh, or whatever you guys do in that huddle, the droplets don't, you know.
What is the sound that we make in the huddle?
Huh.
Is everybody getting kicked in the gut? Or, I mean, what's going on?
I don't know what it is you guys do out there, but there's a shield that they're working on that would protect the mouth from the droplets to go flying on the other player.
Okay, I can assure you, I never played college sports, but I did mm-hmm. play football. Mm-hmm. I can assure you that in the huddle, the word "huh" was never said.
Okay, you're wrong. I've seen it.
You've seen football players say "huh" in the huddle.
Yeah, they go 1, 2, 3, huh.
No, it's 1, 2, 3, break.
Whatever. When you scream break, the droplets go flying, and that's why they need the shield over the mouth. Now, for basketball, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
You act like basketball is more of a contact sport than football.
How are you going to guard someone from 6 feet away?
You're not going to. I'm not saying basketball is not a contact sport, Dana. Please don't misunderstand. What I'm saying is, if there is a contact sport, it is rugby and it is football. Those are the most contact sports of all time.
I disagree when it comes to coronavirus. Basketball is worse because they are running 2x2x2 up and down that court hundreds of times.
And you're saying they're during that, because with football you can wear a mask.
Yes.
Which I can't wait to see what this configuration looks like. But with basketball, it would probably be pretty difficult to wear a mask, and they're drop-letting each other all the way up and down the court.
All the time up and down the court. Okay. This was one of the stories
that's
I read in Phoenix.
That's a fair argument. I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
Remember I got that free Wall Street Journal I was telling you about? They mm-hmm. did an entire article on the problem specifically with basketball and coronavirus. Because there's no way, unless you put some weird contraption around everybody's head, which is not going to happen.
You imagine LeBron James wearing some bizarre face shield that covered his eyes, his nose, and his mouth?
Do they do that for players that break their noses? You know, there's that one thing that you can wear when you break something.
Well, they do put it over your nose, and it like goes around your eyes to hold your nose in place, but it does not cover your mouth.
No, it does not, and it's only it's not to prevent you getting any sort of disease. It's only if somebody touches the area around your nose, it doesn't re-break your nose.
Well, but I'm wondering if they would just expand on that contraption that already exists and somehow put something in front of the mouth.
I think we're going to have to, in all honesty here, if I may, I think we're going to have to get to a point where, especially professional athletes, decide, am I willing to take the risk? And if I'm not, I'm going to sit out the season and wait for a vaccine, okay? If I'm willing to take the risk, I just have to play the way I normally played. And there would be penalties for, like, getting face-to-face with somebody in an argument or whatever. But, you know, I hate the term new normal, but that's where we are. And at some point, we just have to say, you know what? We either accept it or we don't. Athletes either need to know that they run the risk of getting coronavirus, and if a team gets it and it becomes sort of a cluster, if you will, and I don't mean that with the other word that doesn't follow here, I just mean a cluster. If the team becomes a cluster of coronavirus, then the team basically gets shut down. And I mean that on college, high school, and professional levels. You just have to say, okay, the LA Clippers have 8 players that have just tested positive for coronavirus. that team is out. I mean, basically, you do the championship like a game of attrition. Who's left at the end of the season? You're the champion. Let's get to the news. 576-7798. Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, and that is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.